There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit DetectTheSOS.com to learn more.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Hi, this is Shelly's nephew, Eric, and this is The Goodness Factor with Shelly Wade.
And I am Shelly Wade, your host of The Goodness Factor podcast, where we report good news and shine the spotlight on good people doing good things. And can I tell you how happy I am to be able to report good news to you during a time where the news seems to be anything but consistently every day bad, negative, crazy, vitriolic news all day, every day. It's so much. It's too much sometimes. That kind of negativity weighing down on our spirits. We need to take care of ourselves. And a form of self-care, in my opinion, is actively seeking out good news. And that's what you're doing by taking a listen to the Goodness Factor podcast. And I certainly appreciate you. If you haven't subscribed, please do subscribe. Aside from reporting good news here on the podcast weekly, I can be heard on the radio daily on 94.7 The Block, New York City, playing all your favorite throwbacks from 2 to 7 p.m. New York time. Such a fun station. I invite you to listen by downloading the Odyssey app and searching for 94.7 The Block. I'm also a voiceover artist, and you can hear me daily as the voice of the Dabble TV Network. You can go to dabbletvnetwork.com to find out where to watch in your area. And the latest audiobook I voiced is called Lessons to My Younger Self, Navigating Through Workplace Discrimination, Racism, and Sexism by Faye Irving, available wherever you get your podcasts. And I'd like to say this, and I hope Faye doesn't mind me sharing this on the podcast, but typically when you do voiceover work, you are not in contact with, you know, the person who created the work that you're voicing. For instance, audiobooks. I have never met an author who's written a book that I've narrated. You know, you narrate the book, you do your job, and it's done. But Faye somehow found me. Yeah, I got a nice, surprising email from her introducing herself to me. And I'm going to read what she said because it just really was very kind. And again, I hope Faye doesn't mind me sharing with you the email she sent me. She says, "Hope this note finds you smiling." And Faye, listen, people always tell me that I sound like I'm smiling when I speak. So your note probably did find me when I was smiling. She says, "Just wanted to say many thanks for your wonderful audio rendition of my book, Lessons to My Younger Self. The network provided 7 other samples, but when I heard your voice, I knew you were the one who could bring my vision to life. I'm so grateful for your energy, emphasis, and integrity in this project. May the Lord continue to bless you and keep you. May He shine His face on you continuously. Forever indebted, Faye Irving." Oh my God! How amazing is that? You don't always know. I mean, listen, I knew that she chose my voice, so I knew that she wanted the sound that I had, but I didn't know that I would get to speak with her afterwards, even via email. So to receive this wonderful confirmation that she really loved the work I did on the audiobook makes me feel so good that I want to cry. Sniff, sniff, but happy tears. This is going to be a wonderful episode, if I should say so myself, because, listen, I know Black History Month is over. However, I wanted to share with you a really amazing conversation I had with 2 Broadway luminaries at the end of Black History Month. Tony Award-winning director George C. Wolfe and Tony Award-nominated director and choreographer Camille A. Brown joined me at the Sound Space here at Odyssey New York for a conversation about Black excellence on Broadway. And that they both are. As a matter of fact, Mr. Wolf is the director of Gypsy on Broadway, starring the great Audra McDonald, and Camille is the choreographer. But we will do the official introductions and all of that during the interview, which I will share with you inside the Do-Gooder interview. And the reason I'm sharing it with you with the Do-Gooder interview is because, listen, I believe taking in the arts is a form of self-care. Going to see shows like Gypsy and listening to music, all of that can have really positive impacts on our spirit and on our soul and on our well-being. So they are do-gooders sharing their excellent art with us. And I can't wait to share our conversation coming up a little later in the podcast. Before we do that, though, let's get into the Goodness Report. We all want to take better care of ourselves, right? So I came across a list of the healthiest diets for 2025, courtesy of US News, and I thought I'd share them with you because it may help you in deciding the best diet for your life. Number one, the healthiest diet for 2025, according to U.S. News, is the Mediterranean diet. That one is always consistently listed as the healthiest diet, right? With the Mediterranean diet, you limit sweets, processed foods, and red meat. And you eat lots of fruits, veggies, grains, nuts, and healthy fats like chicken and fish. The second healthiest diet of 2025 is the DASH diet. DASH, D-A-S-H, stands for Dietary Approaches to Stop Hypertension, designed, of course, to lower blood pressure. The third healthiest diet for 2025, according to U.S. News, is the Flexitarian diet. Call the Flexitarian diet because you're mostly a vegetarian, but sometimes you eat meat. You're flexible. So the Flexitarian Mediterranean diet. The fourth healthiest diet for 2025 is the MIND diet. M-I-N-D stands for Mediterranean Dash Intervention for Neurodegenerative Delay. It's a mashup of the Mediterranean and Dash diets with a focus on brain health. And according to U.S. News, the fifth healthiest diet for 2025 is the Mayo Clinic diet. It's a three-month program for weight loss. You eat balanced meals with smaller portions and cannot eat while watching TV. Oh, that would be difficult for me because that's one of the things I do. When I get off work, I get off work in the evenings and I like to unwind by sitting on the sofa in front of that TV and eating me a good meal. And, you know, according to the Mayo Clinic diet, you cannot eat while you're watching TV. I guess it doesn't promote you being your healthiest. And the rest of their top 10 are the TLC diet at number 6. At number 7, the menopause diet. I have never heard of the menopause diet. I'll have to do some research on that. Number 8, Dr. Will's anti-inflammatory diet. Number 9, volumetrics. And the 10th healthiest diet for 2025 is the Cleveland Clinic diet. Elsewhere in good news, CBS Evening News recently did a story about a great nonprofit called Project Camp that's been helping kids affected by the LA wildfires. When a disaster hits, they set up day camps within 48 hours to give kids something fun to do and help them process everything. Well, how amazing is that? Because that's one thing, you know, I did my interview for the first episode of this season. So if you haven't caught up on all the episodes, please do so. But my friend and Los Angeles photojournalist Mark Mellinger shared with me his experience through the Eaton Fire in Altadena and his family's determination to build back after the wildfire. Since that episode and since the wildfires, I've been thinking lots about the kids affected by the wildfires. So many kids not only lost their homes in the wildfires, but also lost their schools. And the fact that Project Camp sets up these day camps and they give the kids something fun to do and they help them process going through these traumatic events like wildfires. Project Camp is based in Los Angeles, but they run camps all over the country. They also set up shop in North Carolina last October when Hurricane Helene hit. So good on Project Camp for doing the goodness that they're doing. Elsewhere in the good news of good people doing whatever they can to help wildfire victims, Tom Hanks and Rita Wilson donated $1 million to the wildfire relief efforts. And if you watched the NAACP Image Awards recently, then you know that they set up the Altadena Community Preservation Fund. And I'm on their website right now. It says Safeguarding Generational Wealth in Altadena. Altadena Community Preservation Fund is a community-driven initiative created to help safeguard generational wealth for the multi-ethnic and socioeconomically diverse community that calls Altadena home, while also honoring Altadena's legacy as a historically Black neighborhood. ACPF provides direct cash assistance in the form of bridge grants to Altadena homeowners, small business owners, and local organizations displaced by the Eaton Fire. By providing bridge funding for Altadena residents' immediate and midterm needs, including temporary housing, hiring independent adjusters, legal fees, and administrative costs, the fund helps to ensure that recipients can navigate recovery on their own terms. And it looks like you have a couple of different options if you are able to give and want to. You can Google the Altadena Community Preservation Fund, and the website should be the first thing that comes up in your search. You can make a donation there, or you can text Altadena 2025 to 707070. Again, you can text Altadena 2025 to 707070 to give to the Altadena Community Preservation Fund. I'll say that again. Altadena 2025, text that to 707070. And of course, when I say O, I mean zero. And those are ways that you can help our friends affected by the Eaton wildfire in Altadena. And that's the Goodness Report. Time for the Do-Gooder interview. Without further delay, I present to you my conversation with George C. Wolfe and Camille A. Brown.
So before we get started, I did want to make mention, and first of all, thank you for coming to our town hall. One thing I wanted to mention is that Odyssey is now the media partners, as of last year, with Black Theater United, and we have them in the house today. We started in 2000 with people like Audra McDonald and Norm Lewis and Vanessa Williams and so much more, Felicia Rashad, a lot of us celebrities that gave their time and their cause to this particular thing called Black Theater United, and we're talking about Black excellence on Broadway. And in our partnership, they have also provided some of these celebrities to be on our Odyssey platform. So thank you, my partner. And they were the ones that connected us with the team from Gypsy and have allowed us to have this wonderful town hall today. And Shelley Dunn introduced herself, so I ain't introducing her again, but she, of course, our afternoon host of 94.7 The Block, and she has her podcast. So if you haven't caught her podcast yet, please make sure you tune into her podcast. She's a wonderful, wonderful person. If you get to know Shelley and you're around her, you can't help but smile. She brings warmth to the room. And so she's the best person. She hails from Houston. We won't keep that from you.
H-Town.
From Houston. But I've been in New York for a long time. And she's interviewed a lot of celebrities. So she is one of the best people I know to do the job today. Miss Shelley Wade. We'll take it from there.
Thank you. I love you guys, too.
And a Q&A at the end. A Q&A.
Yes, and we will have a Q&A at the end, guys. Thanks for coming again. I feel like I have to stand up to introduce you guys, these Broadway luminaries. So, director George C. Wolfe is the winner of 6 Tony Awards, including a Lifetime Achievement Tony. Was that just last year?
That was last year.
Just last year. Oh, my God, a Lifetime Achievement Tony? It's already that you won 6. That was amazing already, but a Lifetime Achievement, that's pretty amazing.
That just means I'm old.
And accomplished. Of course, as a producer, if you have seen any of the shows at the Public Theater, New York Shakespeare Festival between 1993 and 2005, you have George C. Wolfe to thank because he was the producer during those years. Also, for film, he directed for HBO, The Immortal Life of Henrietta Lacks and Lackawanna Blues. For Netflix, he directed Ma Rainey's Black Bottom, which was nominated for 5 Academy Awards, and he directed Rustin. From 2009 to 2017, he served on the President's Committee for the Arts and the Humanities, and he was named a Library Lion by the New York Public Library and a Living Landmark by the New York Landmarks Conservatory. Give it up for Broadway luminary George C. Wolfe. So before I introduce Camille, I do have a question for you because you are one of the New York Public Library's Library Lions. Do you know, I know you didn't think you were going to come in here and get a trivia, a pop quiz, but do you know the name of the lions, the names of the lions in front of the library?
George and Harry. No.
They are...
they've been dating for a long time, those lions.
I believe their names are Patience and Fortitude. Look that up. Make sure I'm right, guys.
Oh, wow.
Patience and Fortitude.
That's very good.
Yes. Okay, so now to Camille A. Brown, native New Yorker. Camille A. Brown, four-time Tony Award-nominated director and choreographer. She is currently the choreographer of both Gypsy and Hell's Kitchen on Broadway. On the same block, which I'm sure makes it easier for you, on 44th Street, and her dance company, Camille A. Brown and Dancers, just premiered I Am to a sold-out audience for 5 shows at the Joyce Theater. Give it up for Broadway luminary Camille A. Brown. So listen, I know you guys are super busy, so we appreciate you guys taking the time to come and have this conversation with us. Now, this is one of the things I wondered, and I'm going to, you just saw the video for Gypsy. Gypsy has been revived, what, this is the 5th revival of it?
It's been a bunch. I have no idea how many, but yes.
I mean, it's considered, you guys, one of the best Broadway musicals ever, which is why people keep reviving it. But one of the things that's unique, aside from it being directed by George C. Wolfe, is that it is the first time of a Gypsy Broadway production that the main characters are all people of color. Can you let me know why, first of all, it was important for you to direct this revival of Gypsy, and why it was important for you to have the main characters be people of color, including the great Audra McDonald?
Well, it all started with Audra about 4 or 5 years ago. She and I worked together on a piece called Shuffle Along. She came to me about 4 or 5 years ago and said, I want to do Gypsy. You know, I think one of the reasons why it keeps on being revived, aside from it being an incredibly smart and really brilliantly written musical, it's got at the center a very powerful female character who, it's so interesting to me because when it first premiered in 1959, they called the character a monster. And it was very interesting to me, did they call her a monster because she was a monster, or did they call her a monster because she decided she was going to break rules and she wasn't going to exist inside of anybody else's structure? And so it became, and so she wanted to play the role. And so she and I were talking, and one of the things that she was interested in exploring was this dynamic of how this woman charges forth into the world without a blueprint, and it ends up being, and it's called Gypsy, but it's really the story of Rose, the mother, because Gypsy is really Gypsy Rose Lee, who later went on to become a stripper. And it's interesting dynamic of there's one daughter who is the prized one, who is the lovely one, who is destined for stardom, and then there's the ignored one. And the ignored one ends up becoming Gypsy Rose Lee and very, very famous. And so it just became, and so if you're going to cast Audra, then she's going to have 2 daughters, and they're going to be black because Audra's black. So it's more so that, and that became very interesting. And also it became fascinating to explore color dynamics because it's set during the late 20s and the 30s, so it's going through the Depression. It's also at a time where color equations were very rigid, as if they aren't somewhat still are, in terms of what is considered glamorous, what is considered acceptable, what is a whole series of things. So it became an interesting way to explore power dynamics, poverty, the need to redefine the landscape, because if you play by the rules that are written, you will lose. So it's very important that you break those rules and redefine yourself. And in the long and as you continue to redefine yourself, there are going to be consequences. Things are going to be gained and things are going to be lost. So it became a really interesting thing, viewing it from a lens of a woman who had 2 husbands, said, I'm done. I'm striking out on my own. I'm going to break the rules for my daughter. And I'm going to, and she keeps on saying, I'm going to make you a star. She says, and to me, it's really not about showbiz, but given the dynamics of the country at the time, star meant be existing on a certain level so that as a woman, so as a black person, so as a person of limited means, you are not victim to the dictums and the violence and the aggression that could very frequently happen.
The Goodness Factor resumes after this.
Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different, good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's built around your body. The Natural Cycles app pinpoints your fertile days by tracking shifts in your temperature so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. It's easy to use. Simply take your temperature in the morning with our free Bluetooth thermometer included with our annual plan, or sync with your Oura Ring or Apple Watch. The app analyzes your data and tells you daily whether it's a fertile or non-fertile day. Natural Cycles is 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. But beyond effective birth control, the app helps you understand your body and cycle better than ever. And unlike some period tracking apps, Natural Cycles provides an advanced data protection program to keep your information private and secure. Ready to go hormone-free? Sign up for the Natural Cycles annual plan and get a free Bluetooth thermometer, plus 15% off your subscription with the code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio. This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hearing your comments just now, it just made me realize that, you know, not only is this the perfect conversation for Black History Month, but moving into Women's History Month coming up next month, it would have been a perfect conversation then as well.
But it's also a perfect conversation about America.
Yeah.
America it, mm-hmm. It's one of the things that's so interesting to me about showbiz and boxing. Anytime any immigrant group or disregarded group wanted to ascend, there were Jewish boxers, there were Italian boxers, there were Irish boxers, there were and then there were a series of Black boxers, and then it became Latin and Caribbean boxers. And so there are these very rigid niche that from which you can escape the rigidity of the system. And the entertainment industry, you know, complicated though it is another one of those places. And so it just became, so as the conversation, as we talked more and more about the conversation, it became a natural fit to explore without altering one word of dialogue, one lyric, a chance to explore these dynamics dealing with dealing with race, dealing with being a woman who decided she's going to live by her own rules.
Yeah, that was really interesting for me when I found out that you didn't change one line in the script. Why was it important for you to leave it intact?
Because it's very smart. You don't change Hamlet. You don't change Hamlet because you know somebody else is playing Hamlet. You don't do that. You know what I mean? You honor the material. And that's what's really interesting to me about really smart material. If it's incredibly well done and you get incredibly smart artists to work with, the combustion that comes from the discovery process of working on it is going to change it without changing a thing. And that tension is really interesting to me.
And Camille, we were mentioning how you are the choreographer for two Broadway shows right now. Luckily for you, on the same street. Not that you're already in shape enough to get if it weren't on the same street, but it made me wonder because Broadway schedules for the performers and everyone involved in the production tend to be pretty grueling. 8 performances a week, right? Does that apply to the directors and choreographers as well? Are you at every performance?
We're not at every performance, but during tech rehearsals.
I'm at every performance.
Okay, George is at every performance.
She's on the beat somewhere. Yeah. I'm not at every performance.
But during rehearsals and tech and previews, we're there from, I know George was there starting at like 10 a.m., but we're there from 10 a.m. to midnight,
oh, wow.
Sometimes 1 a.m. So the creative team is deep in conversations about the show, about the work. We have a preview section. We take a look at it. We figure out what things we listen to. George, for his guidance, and we're there every day, all day.
Obviously, you didn't feel that it was going to be too demanding to have two shows at once. What was your decision-making, your deciding factor as to take on another show?
Well, I didn't know they were going to land at the same time.
When you found out they were landing at the same time, what were your thoughts?
They technically didn't because I had already finished Hell's Kitchen when I was asked to do Gypsy. Mm-hmm. So they just happened to be running at the same time,
gotcha,
but I wasn't
gotcha.
Doing them together.
Okay, gotcha.
And I didn't know that they were on the same block until they announced the theater. And I was like, oh, that's right next to mm-hmm. Oh, that's great. Okay, that's amazing. But one of the reasons why I wanted to be a part of Gypsy is because one of the main reasons why I got into theater was because of George's work, and I always appreciated the authenticity of Black people that he showcased on stage. And Gypsy is also one of my favorite musicals of all time as well. And then just the opportunity to work with Audra was just like, who says no to that?
Yeah. I watched a video of you, and you mentioned that Bringing the Noise, Bringing the Funk
Absolutely.
Was one of the first shows that really inspired you mm-hmm. to become a dancer. And then to get to work with George C. Wolfe. How amazing is that?
Yeah, I don't know if I can fully put it to words, but I remember the time when I first saw a reflection of myself through a Black female performer, and the feeling that I got, and I felt so seen. And I remember watching Noise Funk and feeling that same breath of feeling seen. And to have to be at a distance from that, not knowing George personally, but then to be invited into his space of process and to really observe is nothing that I ever dreamed I would be able to say I did.
How does that make you feel hearing that?
Well, A, old.
I knew you were going to have a self-deprecating.
No. That's very nice. I mean, I think it's one's, it's one's job to knock down walls. People knock down walls so I could get into a room. And so once you get into a room, one of your jobs is to also create interesting and dynamic work, but also to knock down walls so that therefore there is an expansive vision of of the world that we live in can be seen. And so that having seen Camille's work and then meeting her and the ferocity of her brain and her personality and her commitment, you know, you want to work with that, but also working in New York and working on Broadway, you know, you were talking about the schedule, can be quite, just working there, there's an equation of brutality to it, because it costs so much money, so that therefore, as a result, because the tickets are so expensive, that shrinks opportunity. And then there are other components and historical equations that shrink opportunity. So you know, I remember after I did my first show, which was Jelly's Last Jam, and I went, this is hard. This is, not only is the work hard, but this, the circumstances and the environment and what you have to take on. So I felt as though, you know, it was a responsibility that once you get there, and I was trained this way, once you get in the room, open up the door so the other people can get the info. Because if you have the information, a lot of people are incredibly very gifted, but they don't have access to the information. Mm-hmm. If you have the information, it empowers you to do more work, and then you invite more people in to do more work, and then you continue to do that, and then that's how everything expands. So it's wonderful to hear that, but it's also, I'm inviting somebody in the room who's already inviting people into the room, who's also redefining and expanding the definition. And that's what it's about. Yeah. That's exactly what it's about.
Thank you. I also wanted to say that with George inviting me to do this show, it provided me the opportunity to show another side of myself. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I got before previews, I got a lot of questions. Oh, you're doing Gypsy? How are you doing Gypsy? I could never see you doing Gypsy. Mm-hmm. And George and I had talked about that and the expectation or lack thereof, or what did they expect of me based on the work that they've seen. And I just thought, just have patience and let the work speak for itself. And so I'm really thankful to George that he paved the way so that I can say, oh, yes, I do that, but I also do this too.
Yes. So Camille, as I was saying earlier when we were introing her, native New Yorker Queens, right?
Jamaica Queens.
And I actually know your dance teacher, Mrs. DeVore.
Carolyn DeVore, yes.
I know her son, and he wanted me to tell you hi.
Hi, Rashad.
Yes, he wanted me to tell you hi. And so you got your start with Mrs. DeVore, and you studied at LaGuardia High School.
Well, I started at Bernice Johnson.
Okay.
Yeah, they started at Bernice Johnson, and then from there, Carolyn DeVore.
Okay.
And then I'll just do the LaGuardia.
Yes, yes.
The Ailey School, and then North Carolina School of the Arts.
So what made you go down south and not stay in New York? And then was your goal always to come back home?
I wanted to go wherever Debbie Allen wanted to go.
Oh, wow.
And that was one of the schools that she was interested in attending. So that was the reason that I was like, I want to go there. And once I got there, oddly enough, because I went out of New York, I was able to see all of the different things that New York had, because I was so much in it. And I went to the Ailey School, but I was able to see Martha Graham, Cunningham Studio, Catherine Dunham Studio, other things. So I had a different perspective when I came back. And I also had a lot of challenges as a dancer. You know, there's this thing that is called the ideal body in dance. And a lot of people have a very specific way that that looks. And a lot of times I just didn't fit into that. And it had nothing to do with the dance. It was everything to do with the look and how my body was shaped. So choreography was really a way for me to escape that and to create my own voice and not wait for someone to ask me to dance in their work, for me to create my own space so I can dance in my own work fully.
And that's a great lesson because, yes. It's a really great lesson because we're going to get a lot of no's in life and a lot of people who don't believe in us, but we have to believe in ourselves. Okay. And we have to also know that we can take control, as you did.
Thank you.
And it's also what I firmly believe, it's and no's are not there to defeat your spirit. No's are there as a step for you saying yes to who you are.
Ooh.
You know,
I
and
love
you know,
that.
And because otherwise, because it's, you know, it's like if you get a cold, you don't go, oh, I must have done something bad. No, you got a cold. So if somebody says no to you, frequently we internalize it. Yeah. But no, it's a person throwing their energy at you, but it has nothing to do with you. It has everything to do with them. And so after you hear no, you go, oh, well, you said no. Well, that, I guess that means somebody needs to say yes to, and I, why not me?
Why not me?
And saying yes, and then after a while, the no's become like gnats or insects flying around you, and you just swat them out of the way and keep doing what you're doing.
Oh, I love that. I'm going to jot that down. We're taping this, aren't we? So, you guys, I hear that former Vice President Kamala Harris recently attended a gypsy performance. Was it a couple of weeks ago?
I think it was last week.
Wowza. So I saw a video of her entering, and I don't know if you guys were delayed, but she entered and they were giving her standing ovations and taking pictures and such. And then afterwards, she came on stage and, you know, gave you guys a critique of the show, and she loved it. And
I wasn't there.
You weren't there? I was going to ask you. I was going to. Neither of you were there?
No.
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 I was excited to hear your experiences.
Well, call her up.
See if she had a good time. And what do you mean her critique?
No. She actually had a great critique of the show. I wrote down the notes, but I can't remember. But yeah, she actually had a great critique. She said it was soulful and thought provoking and moving and such. George, like, I already knew that, but thank you. Okay, so
Michelle Obama came during the preview.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay, very
cool.
They're all parading through.
More of the Goodness Factor is just ahead.
So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure. Or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in. Or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you, so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you, and everyone on your list, at prices that get your budget. At DSW stores or DSW.com.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side-effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's Radio 15 for 15% off today.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio. This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Okay, so we're going to be taking questions from the audience, so please prepare your questions. We're going to pass the mic around. But I would love you guys, this being Black History Month, if you could point out some people that maybe historical Black people or people that you've even worked with that inspire you in your careers and in life.
Well, I mentioned earlier that I did a show called Shuffle Along, and in 1920, Cecil and Blake, Noble Cecil and U.B. Blake, along with Flory Noy Miller, and I just lost the name of the other person because it's gone, created a show that toured around before it came to Broadway to a theater that was literally across the street from where Lincoln Center was, and they tore it down in the process. In addition to tearing down San Juan Hill, they tore down this theater. And it opened up in this Broadway theater in the 1920s, and it became the hit of the season, introduced a woman named Florence Mills, who became an international phenomenon. And one of the things that was that, and I did a lot of research on it, but one of the things that was really fascinating to me is that U.B. Blake was from Baltimore, and both of his parents had been slaves. And his ambition was to make a Broadway musical. And the phenomenon of that his parents came from a system that denied their humanity, and they clearly did something miraculously right so that he had inside of him the belief that he could go do a Broadway show. And he did it, and at the time, it turned into a monumental hit. It toured around. It made $9 million back in 1920. It spawned the careers of so many people. Josephine Baker was in a touring company. Paul Robeson was in it. And it generated a level of work. And prior to Shuffle Along being on Broadway, I think there had been 4, 5, 6 shows that had been there. After Shuffle Along opened up on Broadway in 1920, from 1920 until like the very early 30s, at the beginning of the Depression, there were 6, 7 Black Broadway shows. So it really redefined the landscape. And then the Depression entered in and the landscape changed, or as Langston Hughes said, and it was believed to have been signaled the cultural equation of white downtown going up to Harlem. And then, as Langston Hughes said, and then the Depression happened, and the white people discovered Noel Coward and moved back downtown. But it triggered this phenomenon in New York City, and it really distressed me that no one knew about it. And so that's why I worked on a show about it. But though the people who, in very seemingly barren landscapes, made something magical and wonderful and powerful are very, very important to me. And I was doing an interview with somebody, and I mentioned that U.B. Blake's parents were a slave, and this interviewer went, yeah. Oh. And I turned into an insane person. A moment I'm not proud of, but in a moment I'm very proud of. But, you know, I just find that phenomenal of the people who just, you know, Diana Sands was an extraordinary actress who, for a brief period in the 60s, appeared as St. Joan, was at the part of the Lincoln Center repertoire. These people who cut through, and claimed a space where there wasn't one. So any of those people who had those kinds of professional careers, Paul Robeson was just a phenomenon, and he became so phenomenal, and then he was accused of being a communist. So then his name appeared in every history book, and then because they did not like his politics, they went back and erased his name from the comic, from all the history books. So it's just those people who just went, no. Yes to me, no to you. I'm going to do that. That's who I get incredible inspiration from.
I love that. Very powerful answer. Thank you for sharing that. What about you, Camille?
I'm going to say Debbie Allen. Yes. Without
Debbie,
a doubt.
By the way, sorry to interrupt you, but she graduated from my same high school in Houston, grew up in the same neighborhood, she and Felicia, actually.
Nice. So definitely Debbie Allen, Catherine Dunham, Pearl Primus, Carmen de Lavala, Diane McIntyre, Marlise Yerby, Carolyn DeVore, black women, Judah Jameson, who sadly just passed away recently, just women who paved the way so I could believe that I can do all things. And Catherine Dunham is an amazing example of that, because when I directed For Color Girls Who I Consider Suicide, When the Rainbow Is Enough.
Your directorial debut.
Directorial debut. Yes.
Hey, you guys give it up for her.
Thank you.
Pretty amazing.
In 2022, I didn't know that she was the first black woman to hold those dual roles. And at the time, that was 67 years ago. And also when I just had my show at the Joyce at I Am, one of my rehearsal director said, Catherine Dunham also had two shows running on Broadway and had her company working at the same time. So the fact, and I didn't know these things. Mm-hmm. And the fact that I'm able to learn about that and lift it up and say, oh no, that did happen. Yeah. And it is happening again, is something that feels really important for people to know.
You guys, give it up once again for these Broadway luminaries. George C. Wolfe, Camille A. Brown. Gypsy is on Broadway till August, is it?
It's on Broadway. We ain't going anywhere.
So we'd like to take some questions from the audience now. So please don't be shy, guys.
I think my mic got it. Okay. Questions. Okay. Mary Jo.
Thank you. Hello. Thank you for being here. What was your biggest challenge on the way up, and how did you overcome it to get to where you are today?
Oh, that's interesting. Initially geography, because I was born in Kentucky, so I had to get out of there. And I came to New York with my mother when I was 14, because she was doing some advanced degree work at NYU. And so once I was here, I had always been obsessed with theater for some strange reason, I don't know why. But once I saw it, I went, oh, this is where I want to be. And then there were places and there were people who decided to impose it. So that's why I respond to Gypsy in a very personal way, because I had around me male figures, but as well, but very specifically female figures who, like I said, broke the rules and created and created businesses and created identities and created schools that were designed for empowerment. So I benefited from that, and so I was told very early on. This is an example. I was told very early on that I was smart and that I was magical. And then at one point, and my hometown of Frankfort, Kentucky, was segregated for about the first 6 years of my life. And then I went to a public high school. So I went initially to a private black grade school where we were all celebrated. And then I went to a predominantly white public school. And I stuttered really intensely when I was little. And so they decided I was stupid and called my parents over to put me in remedial classes. And they went, that's not happening. And I found out all of this later. But the thing which was interesting to me, even though I did not know the information, I had an incredible sense that someone was dismissing me. And I remember thinking, turning into Evita Perón and going, by the time I leave this school, I will be running it. And I joined a theater program, and I met other damaged, crazy people like me. And so my first 2 years, I was in a freshman and sophomore year, I was in a state of shock. And by the time I was a junior, I came back, and I was editor of this, and editor of this, and editor of this. And so part of that was, once again, I said earlier, how dare you dismiss me? I sensed that I was being dismissed. And I just took that to go, oh, no. No, no, we're not playing by those rules. And so that put into motion a thought process that, oh, you must claim all of your space. Because if you don't claim all of your space, people, and I don't think it has anything specifically or exclusively to do with race, but do with anything. If your ambitions are, whatever your dreams are, whatever you want to become, you got to own it fully, because you are going to come into contact with people who it would be more convenient for them if you didn't were not as powerful as you were. Mm. So it made that very, very clear at a very, very, very young age. And so when I came to New York and did a whatever, I already had those muscles. And God, good thing I had them, because New Yorker go, hi, slap you in the face, mm-hmm. slap you in the mm-hmm. face. So I had that early.
And I love that you were told that you were magical.
Because there was a community that surrounded, me, and it was they felt as it was their responsibility to protect, you know, the kids that were part of that community, so they didn't have to confront the ugly, and when they did confront the ugly, they were ready for it, yeah. As ready as one can be.
You guys, from here on out, call me magical whenever you see me. Thank you, and I thank you in advance. Any other questions?
Oh, I'd like to answer.
Oh, sorry, Camille, my apologies.
It's okay. I've had many things said to me throughout my career. One of the stories I have is that my company was at the Kennedy Center, and we were performing. I was doing a premiere of my work. And we were at a restaurant across the street, and the waiter was asking what we were doing, and my dancers were talking and said, oh, you know, we're doing a show at the Kennedy Center, and this is our boss. And he looked at me and he said, wow, I don't see you being the leader of anything. And I've also been asked, why are you shooting so high? You are doing pretty good for a black woman. Mm-hmm. Wow. And so when I have these situations and people ask me, well, what do you think it is? It could be anything. It could be that I'm black, that I'm a black woman, that I'm a woman, that I look really young, that my voice is really small. And I think, as my friend says, people get very confused mm-hmm. with me. Yep. And I think because of what they see, they assume things. And my friend said, well, once you start talking, you remind them or you let them know who you are. So those are things that I've had to and continue to navigate through my career. And like George was saying, when someone says no, you say yes to you. And in the same way, if somebody is trying to tell you who you are, you let them know who you are.
And I think that if someone says, sorry. someone even opens their mouth, or my mom used to say, fixes their mouth to say, you know, like, I don't see you as the, what did he say, the boss of anything? That I think that says more about him than it does about you.
We were in, my company was in Ireland, and my stage manager, my production stage manager is a white male, and we were at a restaurant, and some guys came over. They were interested in what we were doing, and they said, so who's the boss? And they immediately turned to my production stage manager, and he was like, no, she's the boss. And they looked, and they just were completely shocked and didn't understand it.
It's not your fault that someone's closed-minded or inexperienced.
Thank you so much for being here. I recently had the opportunity to see Audra Gypsy, and was incredibly overwhelmed with so many things that I was able to take away from it as a Black woman, Afro-Latina woman, just new to Broadway, representing BTU. I thought that there was a lot of symbolism behind that gold, that blonde wig. And I'm really curious to hear your thoughts from both of you. If there was any specific takeaway that you wanted these traditional theater goers to take away from that specific moment, were there any notes that you gave to Joy Woods regarding that specific scene around that blonde wig?
Are you talking about when at the adult Louise playing the character? Well, there are these tropes that exist in American popular entertainment. And you know, Gypsy is the true story. It's the true story of a woman who had two daughters. One was June Havoc and one was Louise, who turned into Gypsy Rose Louise. And, you know, Shirley Temple was a monumental star, you know, once upon a time with the little blonde ringlets. And so, you know, Mother Rose was a very determined woman. She wasn't necessarily the most original. So, you know, and it was vaudeville and there were kiddie acts. So there's a historical legacy of June, of her putting a June in those in those little ringlets of curls, and also that one of her daughters, you know, it was very interesting because one of her daughters is very light skinned, and one of the daughters is brown skinned, and playing that scenario out became an interesting thing without pointing it out. It's just manifesting itself, and so the moment is really fascinating to me because the mother makes a decision that one daughter is going to be successful and one isn't. And that the kind of casual cruelty of that was really fascinating to me. And the one that was dismissed is the one that succeeds. The other one, June Havoc, was successful too, as well. But Gypsy Rose Lee became a superstar. So and so it became this incredibly fascinating, you know, that added a racial equation. But also it was, in order for you to be successful, you can't be the version of you. You've got to look like the version of something else in order for you to succeed. And the sort of dismissive, casual cruelty of that, and the ramifications of that, of a mother making that decision about a child, is one thing, but also how it plays out on a society level as well was just really interesting to me.
Casual cruelty. Use that a couple of times. I like that.
One last question. Camille, did you want to answer that?
No, I thought that was excellent.
I did, okay.
The last question.
Thank you again, Derek. Nice to meet you, Camille and George. So my question is, you know, being everything we said today, breaking down walls, talking about, you know, generations that came before us, how do we prepare the next generation and the youth so that they have the guidance and the mentorship moving forward in this world where, you know, there's a lot of distractions. There's TikTok, Instagram, there's a lot of things going on. They're not paying attention to really what's going on. So how do we really prepare them and get them ready for life, really?
I think that's a really interesting question. I think on a fundamental level, seems to be an incredibly intense level of investment in erasing stories and erasing history, which then calls upon all of us to tell stories, to counterbalance that. So passing on the stories about, you know, I with the company, because we've got, you know, older people in the company, we've got very, very young people, and I periodically ask them, you know, at one point I said, do you know who Groucho Marx? And they went, no. Mm-hmm. Do you know who, blah, blah, blah? No, no. And so sometimes so for me, it's creating a work like Shuffle Along that tells the story of astonishing people that did extraordinary things before you knew about it, so that therefore they understand there has always been opposition and there have always been incredible people who lived in defiance of those limitations, so that therefore that you pass on the stories of people who broke rules, who broke through, who said no to the structures and yes to themselves and yes to the process, so that therefore they understand it has happened before, and therefore the obstacles and the barriers may be different, but there have always been obstacles and barriers, and therefore you must always, if you know your history, it empowers you. If you know as much about all history, it empowers you. And so that's why, you know, I try to do the work that I do. In Hamlet, you know, there's a bunch of dead bodies all over the place. And then Fortinbras comes forward and says, we must go forward. We must go forward. And so it's why I tell the stories that I tell. It's why I'm drawn to the material that I'm drawn to. It's why I'm drawn to the material that I want to, that I write and create, because I want to pass on what was passed on to me, which was people who did astonishing things.
Why did I ask to? I should have gone first. Magnificent. I just wanted to say, you know, this reminds me of my rehearsal director, and she talks about the history of Black dance and people and names people. And she always says, after she says a name, if you don't know who that is, look it up. And so it's providing an opportunity for them to use actually what they are intrigued by the entire time, which is their phones. So it's helpful for her, and I don't want to speak for her, but I think she's trying to make those connections to them and immediately have them have a response and to look those people up right then and there. So if you are into your phone, use it for this very specific thing to learn information.
And also, I will say about Camille, I went to the Sunday matinee of her show. Don't be getting scared. I'm never telling anything on you. And I saw the Sunday matinee show. And afterwards, there was somebody sitting behind me who I didn't even see. And the person at the end, and we're all applauding and standing. And the person said, just what I needed this afternoon. A full expression of joy. Yes. It is a full expression of joy. And so I think when there is negativity flying all over the place, those incredibly powerful human things like joy and love and caring and protection become, the potency of them becomes magnified. And this woman said, just what I needed, an expression of joy. So she was doing it.
Thank you.
So I would love to know, it was something that just crossed my mind as you were speaking. You've not only directed, but you've acted. And not only in your productions, but in other people's productions. How did that come about?
You're talking to me?
You, yes.
Acting?
Yes.
Are you talking about the little movies?
You've appeared in several things as an actor.
Yeah, well, I have too many I have too many control issues, so I can't do it on a regular basis. I can just do periodically. I was an actor in college, but. Good. But I remember sitting, I remember I had written and directed something. And the audience was laughing and laughing and laughing, and then something dramatic happened, and they instantly got silent. Mm-hmm. And they were all leaning forward. And I went, this is so much more interesting watching the audience respond than me standing on stage getting applause. Mm-hmm. For some people, that's it. But I was fascinated by the rhythmic shifts of an audience, and I went, oh, this is what I should be doing, okay. You know. And also when I acted, I knew the correct rhythm of the scene, so I was using my acting to manipulate the other actor to do the correct thing. And I went, George, that's that's not what an actor is. So you need to pull back and be who you are, you know, and direct. And so that's, so I will periodically do it, but I can't live there.
Okay. One more thing, Sharon. Like, you are, you've been designated a living landmark. I have never heard. I didn't even know. I know that, like, Empire State Building's a landmark. I didn't know people were landmarks.
Well, there's a Landmark Conservancy, and they go around. I think it started with when they tore down the old Penn Station, which is, if you've ever seen any images of what it was just, I regret that I never got the chance to walk through it. And so as a result of that, the city became much more proactive in protecting landmarks. And so they created an equation of that became a fundraiser event, and they designated, each year they designate about 8 people mm-hmm. who they decide are living landmark. And I think you have to, a building, I think it's had, your building has to be 35 years old before it's considered for landmark.
And I knew you were gonna do this.
And I think I was 38 at the time. And So I was in the first class of the group that was named. So that's how I came about. But, you know,
that's
but in theory,
freaking if, amazing.
But in theory, if you're a landmark, you can't change the facade. So I can't get any Facebook.
You guys give it up for Broadway luminaries. George C. Wolfe, Camille A. Brown. And be sure, if you haven't seen Gypsy, go and see Gypsy starring the amazing Audra McDonald. Thank you, guys. Yes, exactly. Exactly. As are the director and choreographer. Thank you, guys, for coming by. We appreciate you. Thanks again to Tony Award-winning director George C. Wolfe and Tony Award-nominated director and choreographer Camille A. Brown for joining me for the very meaningful conversation we had in honor of Black History Month here at Odyssey New York about Black excellence on Broadway. That's the Do-Gooder interview. Now it's time for The Good Word. I saw this very powerful good word on social media and thought I'd share it with you. It goes, don't leave anything for later. Later, the coffee gets cold. Later, you lose interest. Later, the day turns into night. Later, people grow up. Later, people grow old. Later, life goes by. Later, you regret not doing something when you had the chance. And I'll add one more to that. Later is not promised. Do what makes you happy right now. And that's the good word. And that wraps up another episode of The Goodness Factor, created, produced, and hosted by yours truly, Shelley Wade. Thanks to Zach Clark, our development producer, for helping us get up and running this year. And if you haven't already, please do subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss an episode when we release them on Tuesdays. Like I said earlier, we are inundated with such crazy, negative, sad, terrible news all the time.
We have to actively search out good news. It's good for our spirit. It's a form of self-care. So make listening to The Goodness Factor a part of your self-care routine every week. Subscribe and spread the word about The Goodness Factor to your family, friends, coworkers, social media, and your entire network, because we want the podcast to get even bigger in 2025 so that we're spreading even more goodness to more good people. Also, follow us on Facebook and Instagram at The Goodness Factor. Be sure to follow my personal social media as well. My Instagram is the one and only Shelley Wade. Like and hit the notifications bell so you don't miss a post. And my Facebook page is All the Rage with Shelley Wade. Like and follow. Love you for listening. Mwah.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio. This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.